Yes, indeed. We are ready for God's word some more.
That's right.
Some more. We've already been enlighteningly blessed through the reading of the pastor's pen. Amen. That God had given in pastor's spirit unto us. And we are ready. I have been made ready to hear of God's truth and his enlightenment some more. So without any further ado, we present to you our own elder sister. I know whose name is in the bulletin, but we had to rearrange things. Amen. We bring to you now elder sister Karen Liverman. Let's sit attentively and receive what God has sent us through her for our understanding and enlightenment. So let's see, receive Elder Karen Liverman now with a very hearty amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Scared some of y'all, didn't I? Amen. Amen. What I'm alluding to is an experience I had, a cardiac event. And God is good. God is good. I'm here. And in the name of Jesus, and all is well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when the event happened, I'm being who I am. I was trying to tell the doctors what to do, of course. You know, they said, well, we need to put you on a heart monitor and admit you. I said, oh, no, no, no. You can monitor the heart monitor, and I can come back the next day. See, we had women's fellowship that Saturday. I figured I'd come to women's fellowship, and then I'd do that stress test and echocardiogram thing. You know, they could No. Because of your factors, we have to keep you. Now, we can't make you stay, but we highly recommend it. So I decided I'd kind of go along with the doctor since I didn't have a medical degree. But, you know, in the whole event, I never called for the elders to lay hands on me and proclaim healing. We didn't cast out any devils. No, no, no. We realized that our lives are hidden in Christ and God. And we all prayed the same prayer. You know what that prayer is, don't you? That the will of God be done. Because guess what? It's already done. It's, hey, let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. We can thank God for his will. We don't have to be afraid of God's will. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Will you please bow your head with me for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we come before you thanking you for the privilege of prayer, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, to gather one more time in the name of Jesus around the mystery of the doctrines of the grace of God, hallelujah, which causes us to have the peace which passes all understanding. We're asking, Lord, that you might remember those that are yet on their way and those, Lord, that are represented here, all their families. And Lord, remember our World Wide Web audience. Hallelujah. And we're asking, Lord, that you might help us. Hallelujah. To behold the mysteries of the doctrine of the grace of God. Hallelujah. That we may have seeing eyes and hearing ears, that we can digest those wonderful things that are in the mystery of the gospel of the grace of God, that we might, Lord, have peace and confidence that our lives are completed and hidden in Christ in God. Lord, we ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We just thank God, hallelujah, for our pastor and for the wealth of knowledge that the Holy Spirit has given him that we are able to glean from. We have more curriculum that has been established in the Grace Gospel Ministry than any of us will ever be able to teach or preach. Hallelujah. And we just thank God for that. We thank the Lord for our pastor. We love him. Let's give the Lord a hand for our pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, when you see me coming, do you know where I'm coming from? Absolutely. I'm coming from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. We are going to talk about our salvation in eternity. And we follow that with Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And we're going to talk about our completed life in Christ in eternity. I am anchored there, realizing if it becomes a reality in your spirit that you didn't do anything to receive salvation, then that will resonate in the other parts of your life, and you too can have peace. Hallelujah. Deacon, can you read for me, please?
All right. Amen.
We're reading now from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. First from the King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Hallelujah.
Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, from the Interlineal Greek text. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ.
Hallelujah.
As he chose us in him before foundation of world to be or being us holy and unblemished before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to him, according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Amen, amen. Now we'll go to Colossians chapter 2. Amen.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, first from the King James Version. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now from the Interlinear Greek text, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are in him, having been filled, who is the head of all rule and authority.
Amen, amen, hallelujah. Our lives are completed in Christ in God. There are no coincidences, there are no accidents. Whatever is, it already is. It has come into your life to pass. That's why it came to pass. And in all things, you are made conquerors. Matter of fact, we are more than conquerors. We are conquerors with some left over. The Holy Spirit has equipped us to go through the storms. Hallelujah. And to get out on the other side where the sun shines. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to be looking into the pastor's pen, and it is dated June 28th, 2015, and it is called Inherit Completion of All in All. In addition, we are going to be looking at a document from the Doctoral Conference number 16, Temporal and Eternal Things Compared, Part 2, and that date is November 11th through 13th, 2010. Now, we're going to be kind of switching back and forth between the documents. I have been praying, and I said, well, Lord, what could I do to help everybody understand in a little more depth of what actually is going on? Not what manifestly is going on. Not what we can see.
Yes.
You know, we got to get away from sightseeing.
Yes.
We got to get away from believing what we see. Mm-hmm. As I've said many, many times, worst testimony in court is what? Eyewitness testimony. Why is that? Because what you see, you can't believe. You can't trust your eyes. You can't look around at your life and say this is God's final verdict, because it's not. Hallelujah. The actualized plan of God, his eternal workings, which are invisible eternal, is the real. And what we are manifestly traveling through this matrix of time is only temporary manifestation. It's temporal. It is the process that is driven by the divine will and invisible purpose of God. Hallelujah. Now, you guys got to get that. You got to get that. What we are actually going through in this matrix of time is not the real real. That the real real is what God has already completed in Christ in his eternal workings. Got to get that. And where we get kind of mucked up is when we go back into the sightseeing, go back into the wanting to be in the spotlight, go back into thinking the processes are the most important, when actually the processes are the physical temporal. And what's most important is the spiritual eternal. That's what walking by faith is about. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's about trusting in God and knowing that the love of God, hallelujah, is going to see us through it all. God loves us. And speaking of love, we want to always get something physical, temporal, to describe something eternal, and it doesn't work. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today, how you cannot justify the physical, temporal, and judge it and compare it to God's eternal plan and workings, hallelujah, which are glorious. You know, we talk about the love of God, and we want to compare the love of God with what some of us consider is the greatest love, which is the love for mother and child. Yeah, yeah. You know, you look at that little baby, yeah, not realizing he going to grow up into something that you're going to want to eat up. You think you're going to eat him up because he lived? You're going to want to eat him up later because all the stuff they do. But that's not true love. That love, many times, is very biased. Very biased. Yeah. You know, or we think about the love, the filial love, you know, love of a friend. That's biased. If they don't do what we want them, do we want to stop being friends, don't we? Yeah. 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 Isn't that based on circumstances? Can you compare those imperfect types of love to the love of God? No. Or the love you have for a husband and wife. Oh, yeah. We remember when we met them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had one. I prayed to get him and prayed to get him gone. Yeah. Yeah, but I was in love. But I fell out of love. Yeah, see, it's temporal in time. Temporal in time. It's going to change. What we have to concentrate on is our hidden life in Christ and God. Hallelujah. Where God's love never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can trust and rely and depend on him. Hallelujah. And this is why I think we have the disconnect. We look at the love examples around us that we experience, which constantly change. Constantly change. And then we think God is like that. You know, if God was like, some of us are schizophrenic, you know, we up one day, down the next, we're here and we're in and out and we're changing. But God is not that way. And we've got to make up in our mind that God's love is perfect, that his love for us never changes. It's always abiding and it's always working for our good. Hallelujah. And we got to get that. Well, we're going to start with our document. Hallelujah. The pastor's pen. And it starts. Inherent completion of all in all, the eternal dimension. The glorious eternal dimension of actuality encompasses all in all an equal quality of his love, which enwraps entirety and completion such that nothing is diminished by their manifestly sequential physical transactions and transitions. What is it talking about? It's talking about the fact that God's love, hallelujah, is not diminished or changed by what is manifested sequential in the matrix, in time, that's tied into physical transactions. It's God's love is not limited by that. Hence, all is actualized in the ultimate fulfillment in the heavenlies in Christ, which engender consummation in reality according to God's eternal purpose and the finalized realm. That's why Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 to 5 talk about our hidden life that is completed in Christ in God. What you see is not always what you get, and it certainly isn't always the conclusion of the matter. So we have to go beyond sightseeing and go into vertical viewing. viewing life from the vertical plane. If we got an understanding that we didn't do anything to bring about God's most glorious gift of salvation, nothing gets any better than salvation. If we can trust God and believe in that, then this other stuff that we go through in time that comes and goes ought to be a cakewalk. Amen, amen. It should empower us to realize that everything is already done. You know, think about Mother Goodloe, and I think about her every day. In that hospital room, getting ready to face great surgery. And what did she say to you, Pastor? She said, should I be late? Pastor said, you really cool, Mother. Cool. And he's looking at the monitors. He's saying, whoa. She said, well, Pastor, didn't you teach us that it's already done? He said, well, yeah. She said, well, why should I be sitting here laying worried about something that's already done? Amen. It was like, oh, yeah, aha moment. Yeah, it's already done. You can turn your light off. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39 states, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This expression of unconditional confidence is invinced in the reliability of eternality's credible sphere, in which perfection is inherent in comprehension with all saints in this glorious dimension. All saints in this glorious dimension. What is he saying there? You know, Paul named everything that he could name in this passage. And he came to the conclusion that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing that appears in the matrix that's going to leave the matrix, physical, temporary, none of that is going to impact God's eternal working and purpose and plan in your life. That is the greater. And that's why we are completed in Christ in God. That's why we read Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 every time I come. Because I got to get you to stop looking into the matrix and believing what you see and start vertical viewing, seeing your life that's hidden in Christ and God as God already sees us as complete. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, we'll go to our document, which is viewing the temporary worldly from the eternal heavenly. And we get excerpts of excerpts that we cover in our conference. And I'm going to give you an excerpt of the excerpt. It's too long for me to do all of it. Hallelujah. But I'm going to highlight it for you. There are terse conundrums, puzzling or confusing comprehensions of relationships between the spiritual declarations and scientific data that often dominate the minds of both believers and skeptics alike. Unfortunately, too many of God's people seek to reconcile biblical documentations with science, which induces skepticism that depend upon finding physical proof to in defense of what is humanly postured as authenticating and rightly dividing scriptural view. So what we want to do is we want to look in secular books, scientism, and we want to say, oh, scientism is intellectualism. It's got to be right. And then we want to look in the Bible and we want to compare and contrast, and we want to kind of have a happy medium or balance between the two. This thinking is easily understood as a humanistic sense, as science is construed to provide very strong or rational physical evidence to support its conclusions. We negate the fact that you cannot explain spirituality with physicality. And that's the first problem we have. We want to take the things that are temporal to explain things that are eternal. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Our things that are physical are always subject to change. I'll give you an example. When I met my husband in 1973, he had a lot of hair. Afro. Y'all see him when he come up here now, don't you? Yeah. That changed, didn't it? And when he met me, I was so good looking, I couldn't hardly stand myself. And you see that change. I didn't get no taller, just wider. all these things are examples of change. If you're looking in the physical, depend on change. But if we're looking in the vertical, invisible, hallelujah, it's always the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. But what do we want to depend on? What we can see. The most unreliable. Do we want to depend on the word? Well, when it kind of meets what we want. Yeah. I had a preacher tell me, I'll do the word as long as it's convenient. I said, oh my God. I changed churches too. Yeah, if I was sitting under somebody who was just going on the convenience of what he could or editorialize or justify that he wanted to do, I was in the wrong place. And you know, some of you all do the same thing. You do the same thing. You bend scriptures. Hallelujah. You add, you subtract. You do a lot of editorializing so it can fit what you want. Yeah. We want the will of God as long as it lines up with our will. Amen. Some of us think God is a genie. Just rub that lamp and say, command the Holy Ghost. Go to it, the Lord. Go get this for me and do this for me. Yeah, when in actuality, what is going to manifest was already actualized in God's original decree in eternity. That's why we pray for the will of God. Hallelujah. That's why we ask the Holy Spirit to, who filters our prayers and presents them perfect to God, that line up with his predetermined, pre-purposed will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. It is already done, saints. It's already done. Turn your light off. You don't have to worry. God's got it. And that's what he was saying in what we just read in Romans chapter 8. He named everything that he could name and came to the conclusion that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. This thinking is easily understood in a humanistic sense, as science is construed to provide that rational physical evidence and conclusions. The prevailing thought is that even though some religions may satisfy deep emotional desires and belief in miracles, they are inadequate to lift human hope above the circumstances in nature that seem to just cry in tragedies of unavoidable, depraved chaos imbued in temporariness. Yes. We heard the expression, here today, gone tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That's what our life circumstances are. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. Grace gospel viewing is spiritual and invisible. And that's what we should be having our confidence in. In this sense, God's people are afforded three alternative modes in viewing the world, and more specifically, the earth. When we think about grace gospel viewing, we think about spiritual invisible. We think about physicality. We think about temporary, the processes. The spiritual is invisible and eternal, and it reflects the divine will and purpose of God. Now, to save time, we're going to just kind of give a synopsis of the three views, because Pastor got pages on it. Can't do pages today. But what I will do, we'll talk about the first view. And that's in paragraph number 2. No, I'm not going to read all that. The first view, it talks about that we're viewing the physical evidence. And then you've got the side of the church interpreters that literally believe in the literal word of the Bible. They just, you know, the Bible is true. So since in Genesis, for instance, it talks about God creating the world and the earth in 6 days. And those people construe in another part of the Bible. Remember I told you kind of jump around, have this Bible soup thing going. So you're going from dispensation to dispensation, picking out something here, picking out something there. So in Peter, it talks about one day being 1,000 days, 1,000 years. So then they come to conclusion, those that literal Bible group, they come to conclusion that the world is 6,000 years old. After all, God completed everything in a day. And Peter comes back and says, a day is 1,000 years. Anybody can count, knows that 1,000 times 6, right? So the world is 6,000 years old. Now, scientifically, does that compute? Absolutely not. Keep in mind, time is a creation. Time is a creation. And it was created by God for purpose. That's what time is about.
And absolutely, the world is older than 6,000 years old. But do you see how when we are trying to balance the scientific with the spiritual, it doesn't work? The second group, and another thing about that first group, they want to go with absolutes. Everybody going to be healed. Everybody going to be saved. Everybody, you know, they go on and they pick and choose to support that. And that's contrary to even what the scripture says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and you can look it up later, 7 to 10, talks about Paul's infirmity. Now, if everybody was going to be healed, don't you think God would have healed Paul too? Paul said, I was sent a messenger from Satan. Where did it come from? I was sent. Where did it come from? Did it originate with Satan? Absolutely not. Satan is a created being. He has a purpose that is designed by God, and God is his boss too. See, we want to make Satan a creator. We want to put him on the same level with God. And that's a problem. So that whole group with that first thinking, and this is what it's saying. You can look it up later on the website. But that's in essence what it's talking about. And then the second group after that, they want to reconcile some science with some Bible views. And this is called, in order to do this, you have to editorialize. So they start editorializing the Bible, that second group. And then finally, you get to the third group, which is the correct group. That's where we all want to strive to be in. And those are those that are looking at the Bible and looking at circumstances in time from the vertical view. Hallelujah. This is where the supremacy of the scriptures prevail. Hallelujah. It's not subject to human opinions. It's looking solely at the divine will, purpose and testimony of God. Hallelujah. And that is the group that we want to be adhering to. Getting back to our scripture on page 2, the third paragraph of the document, it reads, hence the phrase that by them you might fight the good war. See, it's talking about, he's telling Timothy to adhere to men, strong men that are able to convey this message of the gospel of the grace of God. And he conveys it and talks about fighting a war against what? Ideology, a war against what? It's a war against tradition. Right. Hallelujah. So he's saying to Timothy, you must fight the good fight of faith. And he uses warfare like he's in a battle. And he says, hence the phrase that by them you may fight the good war is in reference to these prophecies as the locative case designates in the sphere of fighting the good war. Here it is important to observe the terminology used in this verse as the Greek verb rendered fight or wage war denotes to perform battle and engage in war. And it goes on and it references 2 Corinthians 4:4, Matthew 13:39, Acts 13:10, and Ephesians 6:11. To 12 and 1 Peter 5 and 8. In addition, it is significant that the objective rendered good qualifies the word rendered warfare, referring to the spiritual war. Remember, spiritual is invisible, eternal. Matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 on, it talks about the weapons of our warfare. And it plainly states are not carnal. They're not physical, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And all of the weaponry is spiritual. Hallelujah. So when we go talk about we going to fight the devil and beat the devil butt and all this stuff you see in these, hearing these songs, crazy stuff in some of these songs. You know, that's why we sing hymns at Grace Gospel. We avoid a lot of the foolishness that you hear today that are backed by synergistic thinking. What is synergism? That's the idea of us and God being a team. God being the co-pilot. See, I'm on the same level with God now with this foolishness. Yeah, yeah. But we sing the hymns that are based on the word. Hallelujah. And you need to maybe sing some hymns yourself. Yeah, get into those things that are going to inspire you, hallelujah, to trust and depend and rely on God alone. Hallelujah. In addition, it is significant that the objective rendered good qualifies the word rendered warfare, referring to, the spiritual invisible. Hence, the one fighting this war is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we reference 2 Timothy 2:3. One of the qualifications of a good soldier is one that will not become entangled in the affairs of life. And we look at 2 Timothy 2:4 in conveying the soul ministry's purpose, and that is pleasing the commander, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's what this is all about. Our lives are all about Jesus. Hallelujah. And one of the reasons I wanted to come with you with this document, I'm going to now turn to number page 4 and look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. In our other document, in our pastor's pen, it talks about Ephesians 3:19, latter phrase is that you may be having been filled to all the fullness of God, that's engrossed in the richest measure of his divine presence, having been wholly encased in God's saying, which is Hebrews 11:3. Now, there's so much in Hebrews 11:3. It goes on to say that God and the entire universe exhibits purposed outreach, absolved in co-signment of surety and totality of his actualized being. Such is inherently provincial in realism and mercy and grace. The grace scriptures teach this comprehension in every respect of actualized dimension, regardless of how expansive it inquires. All is covered by the love of Christ and containment of actualized reception of his salvation, which is to the uttermost. Love decreed it, love shall fulfill, having fulfilled it, until all in manifestation is filled and flooded with this reality, in knowing, having known, the joy of his marvelous, boundless grace. Hallelujah. And so, in meditating on that, I love this other document, and it gives a little bit more of a peep into Hebrews 11:3, and it states, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that the things being seen have not been made out of things which appear. This verse conveys that faith in God and his word is the first step toward understanding what he has done, and that's in his eternal decree. See, God only made one decree. He's not up in heaven making daily decisions. Your life was completed in Christ and God in that single decree. Romans 1:19-20 declares that there is an undeniable transmission of knowledge between what God has made and who God is. In fact, the bond between what God created and the knowledge of his eternal power and deity is so solid that those who reject it are without excuse and testifying as to who they are as depraved creatures. Thus, mankind does not reject God because of what he has created, but in spite of it, because depraved nature is adverse to being subordinate to him. Amen. They do not reject God because of evidence, but because they are totally depraved sinners, and as such are in conformity to the God of this world or the God of this age. And we reference 2 Corinthians 4:4. Hebrews 11:1 states that faith is that which gives substance to future things and evidence and proof of what is invisible. Faith lends substance, undergirding, and support to one's rendered understanding and comprehension of how God created the universe and how such functions. The Greek phrase rendered the universe or ages or worlds, but universe is the best equivalent, and we look at Hebrews 1:2. The Greek infinitive rendered was created conveys being created, fitted, prepared, and perfected. Hence, faith exudes understanding that the visible universe was not created out of visible elements, and that matter but materialized according to God's invisible world. God's invisible word. God spoke it, and it all became. God has spoken about your life, and it already is, having been created, having been completed, having been actualized in eternity and manifested in time. It's already done, saints. turn off your light. Hallelujah. And in conclusion, the Grace Gospel Church Ministry believes and teaches that God is love and that his outreach and grace is superior to all the creeds of moralized traditions encumbered in time span. In this enlightenment, the ages courses aren't such a mystery because all is fitted in him, through him, and for him. And that reference is Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. God's plan of love invinces, hallelujah, in the depth of which finalized creation was acquired. It says finalized. It's already done. Hence, Earth's Garden of Eden, as well as Gethsemane, was always within divine control. Right. Now, let's talk about that just for a second. I know I'm going over what I normally do. But we look at the Garden of Eden, and we think that when the sin occurred, that God was surprised. Yeah, if you look at the writings, he goes into the garden, the Lord, looking for Adam. And he says, Adam, where are you? And Adam's answer is, I'm hiding. Just like God didn't know where he was. We think God went on vacation? That he wasn't aware? That he didn't already pre-plan? Of course he pre-planned. The scripture plainly tells us that the Lamb was slain, hallelujah, before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Nothing is coming on. See, we think God is like us. We think that we see something that appears in the matrix and we say, whoa. And we think God is up in heaven. He said, whoa. He more surprised than we are. Absolutely. Where do we put the sovereignty of God? Where do we put the omnipresence and omnipotent and omniscience of God? We try to make him like us, and it really takes away from everything that is. And it causes us to worry and to fret and to scratch and to toss and turn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gethsemane, we see Jesus praying, remove the cup. He came to save. He came to shed his blood. That never wavered. What we were looking at was processes. And we want to make them and tie them and put them above the purposes and the divine will of God, which is already completed. Y'all need to stop that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God was always in divine control. Always. God is love. And to the extent in which all was raised in redemption, full and free, was purposed long before the fall. And we already referenced the fact that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. God is love over his entire vast domain. In each of the measurements degree, God is love. It surpasses every score from the outer edge to the innermost core. And yet God is love has abounded more and more in entire creation predeterminately restored. God is love exhibits inherent completion of all in all. Saints, viewing life from the vertical plane of our sonship position in Christ and what God has done for us with his eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to our daily living. Saints, walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen, 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 amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Thank God.